If you would, I want you to get your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm sorry, make that 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to find verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Then would you stand with me, please? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse number 1. I'm going to read 3 verses to you. This morning, the sermon is called this, How to Prevent a Shaken Mind. How to Prevent a Shaken Mind. The Bible says this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. If you look back at me, here you see those words in verse number 2. It speaks of someone that's shaken in mind. Of course, the Lord's saying Jesus is coming again, and don't let everything shake you up until He gets back. But those words, shaken in mind, captivated me. I want us to talk about it today. And so, first of all, let me pray. Then we're going to talk about this matter of what can we do to not be shaken in our minds. Father, meet with us now. I pray, God, that all attention would be given to the sermon. I pray cell phones will be put away. I pray we'll not worry about what's taking place outside this auditorium, but be concerned about what is taking place inside. We came to church. We came to hear from God. Help us not to miss that divine appointment that You designated for us today. Holy Spirit of God, control what is said, control what is heard. And Father, help us today. I pray that You would, from heaven, show us how to have strong spiritual minds in a day and age where people's minds are a mess. Help us, Lord. Please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll look back this way, let me make this statement first of all. I worry about this generation of people. They have mind issues. It seems like people's minds are weaker today and less spiritual today than ever before. And I'm not talking about just the lost world. I'm talking about born-again Christian people who know Jesus as their Savior, but they have their minds messed up, and they don't think right, and because of that, they don't act right, and they don't make good decisions, and they have become virtually a part of the frustration and the confusion of a lost world. Folks, we are to have sound minds in Christ Jesus. Did you notice there? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2, it says that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled. God's saying, don't be shaken in your mind. Don't be troubled in your mind. Don't get all shook up in your mind. You say, how would that happen? Well, I think the devil would like to shake our minds. I think life can come upon us and we face the matters of life and it shakes our mind. I think some of us bring it on ourselves. Your mind's a little bit like a computer. It can only function off of what you put in it. And if you put something in it, then that's going to affect the functioning of your brain or of your mind. My mom used to talk about getting rattled. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. Mom would say she was all rattled. In other words, all shook up, if you will. We should have spiritual and stable thinking. But there are many people in this day who are not spiritually stable in their thinking. I I did a little reading not long ago, and I was kind of enamored with the thought of what they call the shaken baby syndrome. And many of you know what that is. It's a serious brain injury that is caused by someone who forcefully or violently shakes a young child, a baby. Babies have soft brains. Babies have delicate blood vessels, and when you shake them repeatedly, that soft brain it hits the inside of the skull, and of course it causes severe bruises, and it can damage the brain and then damage the baby in many, many different ways. But you know, there's not only a shaken baby syndrome; there is also a shaken adult syndrome. Somewhat the same concept. Here's the sad thing. Mostly, it's found associated with domestic violence, where husbands or wives are grabbing one another and shaking one another. Brain hemorrhages, or subdermal hematoma, something like that they would call it. But, you know, what it is, it's where someone is shaken to the point that their brain is bruised and damaged. Now, when I talk about a shaken mind today, obviously I'm not talking about the physical organ of the brain, but I am talking about your mind and your thinking. And may I say, if we let the devil shake us mentally to the point that it damages us spiritually and it damages our spiritual mental capacity, we've done the wrong thing. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read 5 verses. Listen to these real carefully. You're going to hear the word mind 3 or 4 times in these verses. The Bible says this: if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let me explain right off the bat. The thing that will help you not to be shaken in your mind is to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if I may make this application, God is not in heaven freaking out. God is not up in heaven and all overwhelmed with the anxieties of life. And God said, I want my mind to become a part of your mind so you can have a healthy mind. And so it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the mind is an incredible thing. When used right, it can do great things for the cause of right and the cause of God and for good. But when used wrong, it can do us and others great harm. What you do with your mind will make or break you in life. There's no doubt about that. Your mind is a vast territory. The brain, it's a relatively large organ, but yet the brain is not as vast as the mind. The mind is just incredible. And God wants you to give that vast territory of your mind. He wants you to give it to Him. Now, too many of you, you've given too much of your mind to the devil. And that's why some of you are shaken in mind. That's why you're rattled in life. Now, God wants you to give that territory of your mind to Him. On the other hand, Satan wants to claim all the mind's territory that he possibly can for himself. In a way, your mind is a battlefield. You say a battlefield. It is. It's a battlefield between right and wrong. It's a battlefield between the spirit and the flesh. It's a battlefield between God and the devil. You know, that's where the great battles take place. What happens with your body started in your brain. It started in your mind. Nobody goes out and commits immoralities and atrocities in life without it starting on the inside of them. And then it comes out of us. And so our mind is that battlefield. I also think that the mind is a gold. It's a gold mine. Well, there's something. There's a reason why the devil wants your mind. And there's a reason why God wants your mind. They know that is going to make or break you in life. Oh, the Bible, it gives us a lot of examples of the misuse of our mind. For instance, Romans chapter 8, verse number 6, it mentions being carnally minded. A carnal mind is prone to sin and sinful appetites, and the Bible says a carnal mind produces death. But then there's not only the carnal mind. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20, it speaks of a mind that is hardened in pride. That's a know-it-all. That's somebody that won't be moved in the right direction. They've already decided what they believe, and not even God's going to influence it. Then, in Luke chapter 12, verse number 29, it speaks of a doubtful mind. And that's a mind that does not exercise faith in God and faith in God's Word. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, it speaks of the reprobate mind. That mind is a bit worthless. That's meaning that's a mind that they've just thought in such a nasty way so long they can't even think right. They have themselves so goofed up in their mental thought processes. In Acts chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, it speaks of the minds that were evil affected against the brethren. And I thought that was interesting that God pointed that out. In other words, there's some people who are slanderous against God's people, slanderous against good Christians. God calls them, it says they are evil affected against the brethren. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 speaks of those who mind earthly things. In other words, they're not heavenly minded, they're earthly minded. They don't make their decisions based on what God in heaven thinks. They make their decisions based on how will that affect me today or tomorrow. What will people think of me opposed to what would God think of me? James chapter 1, verse number 8 speaks of someone that's double-minded. Meaning they have divided loyalties. Double-minded people are the kind that would come to church and give you the impression they love God on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. And it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them at all. They'd come to church and say amen to Jesus on Monday and then use God's name as a cuss word on Monday and not think twice about it. They're double-minded. And by the way, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's not just unstable on Monday. When he's acting like the devil, God said, you're unstable at church when you're putting up the ruse or the front. You're unstable there too, because that's not the real deal. That's not really what you are. But his mind is virtually two-faced. That's the double-minded man. Folks, let me tell you something. From what I can tell in the Scripture, your mind is your hope for spiritual success. What you do with your mind will determine what God can do with you. God's Word is to be the primary influence in your mind. Now, let me, if I may, quickly show you God's plan to help us to prevent ourselves from being shaken in mind. God wants your mind to be stable. God wants your mind to be strong spiritually. God wants your mind to be solid. Sound, the Bible calls it. Now, a sermon like this can make a great impact if you'll let it. You don't know how I think, and I don't know how you think. But God does. God does. There are people, under the sound of my voice, you have a mess in your mind. Yet, your mind then produces emotions that are not good for you to have. They're detrimental to you. They're sin. You're backslidden because of what goes on in your mind. Let the Scripture strengthen you today. I don't think there are any words in the Bible that God placed there by accident. God didn't run out of something to say one day and say to somebody else, hey, write something and throw it in there real quick. I just want to fill up a few pages of the book. No, God wrote every word in this book and He wrote it for a reason. And I don't think it's an accident that we are told there are people that are shaken in their mind. Because I think God has an answer for that. If I could, I'd love for you to come back this evening and hear the second part of this sermon. Let me tell you this. You can prevent a shaken mind. Number one, prevent a shaken mind by having a mind to work. A mind to work. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says this, so built we the wall, and all that wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I wish I had time to tell the whole story. I'd just tell you this. This is the story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. I'm going to promise you, they were being attacked while they were building this wall. But I really do believe the Bible talks about, rather than having a shaken mind, have a mind to work. Now, folks, you might not believe it, but we live in a day where they want more time off, less time on, and we're falling apart in America more today emotionally than ever before. There was a healthier generation when they get up in the morning and work hard during the day, and they were wore out at the end of the day, and they didn't spend all their time in the television, and they didn't spend all this casual time playing games. They worked. And there's something about work that stabilizes the mind. There's just something about it. I'll just tell you a little hint. If something comes upon me and it grabs me emotionally and it wants to tear me apart mentally, one of the best things I can do is go to work. I go work my way through that. I put my body into it. I put my energy into it. And I happen to believe it's not eerie. I happen to believe God blesses hard work. Amen. Hard work can keep you stable. It's no wonder we have such messes out there today. You got all sorts of people that won't work. And they also can't think. If they do think, they don't think what's good for everybody else. They just think what's good for them. But they had a mind to work. I think you can prevent a shaken mind by labor, by working. Look, I happen to believe no work, no success. I think when opposition comes, work will help you to get through it. Now, listen, not everybody can work at the same hours, and not everybody can work the same capacity, but everybody can work. And I happen to believe the Bible teaches that it having a mind to work can prevent a shaken mind. But not only that, I think you can prevent a shaken mind by having a mind that is stayed on God. A mind that is stayed on God. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 26. In Isaiah 26, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So that verse is telling us God can provide for us a perfect peace if our mind is stayed on thee. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means our mind should be anchored in God. Our mind should be anchored in God's Word. Notice, though, that says, God said, I can give you perfect peace if your mind is stayed or anchored in me. Not just peace, perfect peace. And do you know what peace He gives? God said, I give unto thee my peace. You know what that means? God's not promising you your peace. God's promising you His peace. And I've got real good news for you today. God's not up in heaven freaking out about anything right now. The peace of God is adequate to run the entire universe for all eternity. God's not panicked. God's not facing anxiety. God's not falling apart. God's not confused. God's not on the downside of things. God's on the upside. And God said this. He said, if you will lock into me and lock into me spiritually and lock into me mentally and lock into my word, I can calm your mind down. You're rattled. And I'll tell you something. This world needs some stable minds. I'm almost worried. We're surrounded by mental fruitcakes. What do we need? We need the stability of God in our lives. And he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Not whose mind is stayed on the stock market. And I'm not against the stock market. I love cows. Let me tell you, you watch the stock market all the time, you'll be rattled. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, "Woo, I'm making all sorts of money." I said, "Hang on, baby. It'll change. It's like Newbern weather. You don't like it today, hang on 15 minutes. It'll change." He said, whose mind is stayed on thee. You say, "I'm so happy about the White House." That'll change. "Oh, I'm so happy about this. I'm so happy about that." You know what? You better get happy about Jesus. You better lock in on Jesus Christ. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And it's a perfect peace. Let me tell you, you say, well, what do you think that means? Those of you that are in and out of your personal walk with God, your mind's rattled. You'll be rattled. You say, what do you mean? You need to get in your Bible every day and stop playing around with your Bible reading. Get a time every day of your life where you open this book up and you read it and you read the book. That will help your mind to be stayed. You see, a stayed mind is one that's hooked up and it's not unhooking and hooking up and unhooking and hooking up. You need to get a time to pray every day of your life. Some of you need to learn to go to church and do it faithfully. You will mess your mind up by coming to church, and then you don't come for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, and then you drop by and tip God a little bit. Let me tell you something. You want a stable mind. Your mind has to be stayed on God. It means hooked up to God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Sunday is still the Lord's day. Did you know that? Sunday is still the Lord's day. If you don't want to be shaken in mind, you need to have a mind to work. If you don't want to be shaken in mind, your mind needs to be stayed on God, hooked up to God, and not coming in and out of trying to be a Christian. Decide you're going to be a Christian and be one. Live like the Lord and for the Lord. But not only that. If you want to prevent a shaken mind, you can do that by having a mind filled with hope. A mind filled with hope. Let me read to you from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 23. It says this, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Now, there are a lot of definitions out there for hope. I'm going to give you what I like is a definition for hope. Hope is the belief that there is good yet to come. Hope. What is that? It's the belief that there is good yet to come. Let me tell you how you can shake your mind up and get yourself depressed and down and let anxiety overtake you. You just stop believing that there's good yet to come. You know what that is? It's the absence of hope. If there's something, look, if somebody's struggling, if nothing else, I'll shoot them a text that says, God's good. God's good. Why? He is. And let me give you something that might help you. If you're alive, God still has a purpose for you. If you're alive, there's good yet to come. But you get that morbid, that terrible dark cloud that comes over you that you feed because you get to believe in nothing good is going to come. It's all bad. It's all bad. It's all bad. It's all bad. If you walk around all day long saying it's all bad, it's all bad, it's all bad, eventually you're going to have everybody convinced it's all bad. But if God's alive, it's not all bad. God's good. And God's good all the time. And if you're still alive, God has something for you. Look, if God didn't have something for you, He'd just go ahead and kill you, take you to heaven. Oh, and that's pretty good too. A mind filled with hope. Folks, our minds need spiritual hope. Don't be a pessimist, but be an optimist for Jesus. I have a bottle of water here. Thank you. Some of you are brighter than you look. That's right. It's about half What'd you say? Is that half full or half empty? Full. Yeah? Right. There's two different attitudes about the bottle. To some it's half full, to some it's half empty. Which are you? A lot of people live their life that way. You don't look at what you have. You just mourn over what you don't have, so you make yourself miserable. And that's the way we are. Look, I will never forget my mother-in-law when she had her leg cut off because of her sugar diabetes. She was one of the happiest women you ever met in your life. I couldn't figure out why she's so happy. And I remember before she went into surgery, I said, "You can't get your leg cut off. Why are you so happy?" She said, "I'll still have one." What a testimony. You have two legs and you gripe all the time. You're just a negative person. That water's good. If we don't want to be shaken in minds, if we don't want the devil to damage us spiritually and mentally, there's some things that we need to do. We have to have a mind to work. You say, what's that mean? Keep moving forward. Don't lay there and lick your wounds. Keep moving forward. Keep working. Keep work your way through this. Did you know that you will not pout your way through anything? Have a mind to work. Have a mind that is stayed on God. You hook up to God and don't let go. I love this. I hate this, but at the same time, what a great illustration. Stan's sister, Cassie, she was working with dogs, and a pit bull, a Rottweiler, which one was it, Stan? Pit bull grabbed a hold of her arm and would not let go. And to protect some other people around, she carried the pit bull clamped onto her arm over to its cage where it was to be put away. And they finally got the dog off of her, but to keep everybody safe, she took that dog over, dangling from her arm. Now she's pretty sick because of it. But let me tell y'all something. I wish some of you would get a little of that kind of tenacity in your life about Jesus Christ. First of all, I respect her. That's a tough gal. The dog could even teach you a lesson. Won't you grab hold of Jesus Christ and not let go? Get a hold of church. Get a hold of your Bible. Get a hold of your Christianity. Stop playing around. You see, a mind that is stayed on God, a mind that is filled with hope. Then, if I may, to prevent a shaken mind, we need to have a humble mind. A humble mind. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 19, the Bible says this, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul said, I faced a lot of things, but I kept my mind humble. You know, did you know this? That a humble mind is one that continues to learn. We're coming to the time when we will have a baccalaureate service, and we will spend some time in one of our church services honoring college graduates and high school graduates from our church. Let me explain to you, folks. My belief is this. Graduation time is not the end. Graduation time is the beginning. You don't turn 20 or 22 or 24 and get a degree and you've learned all you need. You don't turn 18 and graduate from high school and you just got everything you need. Oh, no. You just found out how much you didn't have. That's what you found out. I'll never forget when I was running the Bible college up in Indiana, I would have young men come to me and they would say to me at graduation time, they would say, Brother Owens, I am ready to go. I've learned what I need to learn and I'm ready to go out there and conquer the world. And I would think to myself, that guy, I'll probably fizzle. Then I had some guy come to me and he said, I've been all the way through school. I'm getting my degree. I'm getting my bachelor's degree or my doctor's degree next week. And Brother Owens, I am scared to death. And I would think to myself, this guy might make it. He's still humble in mind. He wants to keep on learning. It's amazing to me how much smarter my dad has become as I've grown older. You're 18 years old. You think you know it all. You won't listen to your daddy. You won't listen to your mama. You won't let anybody counsel you. And in just a few years, you're saying, I wish my dad would come tell me what to do right now because I don't know what comes next. If you don't want to be shaken in mind, you better keep your mind humble enough that you keep on learning. Keep on learning. A humble mind realizes that all that you have learned, it's the sum total of things that others have invested in you. A humble mind does not get too smart for God's Word. So you all know, I love technology. I think there's some wonderful things that technology can do for us, but technology will never take the place of the Word of God. There's no computer that's smarter than the Bible. And we've got to make sure that we keep our minds humble. And I believe humble minds that are moldable by God won't be shaken minds. You see, have a mind to work. Keep your mind stayed on God. Have a mind of hope. Don't be negative all the time. Have a humble mind. But then the Bible says we can prevent a shaken mind, I think, by having a sound mind. S-O-U-N-D, a sound mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says this, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice he talks about it is a power of a sound mind. Now, the word sound there, really, if you wanted to properly define it, it's talking about a disciplined mind. Maybe it's a mind with some spiritual character. A sound mind is a mind that makes clear spiritual judgments. Let me explain. God knows everything. Can I show you one of the best ways to make a decision? You face something, go to the Bible, figure out what God would tell you to do, then go do it. You say, but wonder if Dr. Phil doesn't agree. Sorry. God knows everything. And this book, it's not just a coloring book for juveniles to have some fun with down at the church house. It's a book by which we are to live and make our decisions. And a sound mind is one that is making its decisions in a solid way. A sound mind. And that means this, you got to be careful. Don't let things poison your mind. Don't let your mind be poisoned with bitterness and revenge and unforgiveness. You need a sound mind. You need a solid mind. You need a spiritually predictable mind. Because our minds are not to be shaken. Our minds are not to be rattled all the time. And I see more and more Christians that their behaviors are just erratic. And erratic behaviors are the result of a lack of soundness in our minds. We've got to learn to think the way God would have us to think. I don't make a lot of judgment calls in my life. I don't have to. You say, why? I decided a long time ago that if the Bible teaches it, I'll let the Bible be my guide. So what happens is I face something. I think to myself, what does the Bible say about that? And I find out what the Bible says about it and said, that's what I'm going to do. You say, well, I'm just all the time searching. If you want to search something, search your Bible. You better be careful what else you search out there in life, because this old world's awful messed up. But there is a soundness that is available to us through Christ. You get that in the Bible. That we're an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. That's real obvious to people. I had somebody say just recently, they said, well, I came to the church and I really didn't think I was going to understand a thing that went on or a thing that was said. And they said, boy, do you make it clear. Yeah. There is a soundness in what takes place in this auditorium because it is based on the Word of God. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but please forgive me for the confidence that I have in the Word of God. If God said it, I believe it. And that's the end of it. Matter of fact, I don't even have to believe it. If God said it, that's the end of it. And a pastor can stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong. And if you want to stabilize your life, you need to stop thinking everything through with your humanistic values and believe the Bible. And that'll bring soundness. It'll anchor your life. The people out in that world that are all messed up and frantic, they're rattled in their mind. They're shaken in mind. You see, God wants us to have a mind to work, and God wants us to have a mind that has stayed on Him. And God wants our minds filled with hope, and our minds to be humble, and our minds to be sound. I'll give you one more, and then tonight we'll cover about a half a dozen more things that will keep you from having a shaken mind. But finally, let me say, to prevent a shaken mind, we need to have a mind like Jesus Christ. A mind like Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice it says let. I have to make a choice. I have to let His mind become my thinking, His thinking become my thinking, His mind to become my mind. Doesn't just happen naturally. I let it. I want it. They, for a long, long time, they had T-shirts and they had bracelets and necklaces, and maybe they still have them. And they have the initials W W J-D on them. And I thought they were cute, and then it was a fad that came and it went. But let me tell you something. That's a pretty good way to live your everyday life. Everything that you do, ask yourself, well, what would Jesus do about this? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus think about this? How would Jesus behave right now? The Bible is God's mind. The Bible, these are God's thoughts. They're perfect. They're pure. We get to the Bible and we can think like Christ. The Bible is His mind. I've been counseling people. I mean, you'll think this is an exaggeration. Hundreds of thousands of people have walked in and out of my office through the years. I've been preaching since I was 16. I've counseled a lot of people. I've counseled with people that have been to psychologists and psychiatrists and I mean multiple issues of life. You know something I do, Brother Earl? I do this without apology. People come in to see me and I'll say, well, I'm going to give you a little prescription. Now, I don't write pharmaceutical prescriptions. I'll write out verses for them to memorize that combat their mental weaknesses. I say, you memorize that. You get up in the morning and you look at that and you memorize that and you quote that to yourself at noon and you quote that to yourself tonight. And you quote every time the temptation comes on you, you look at the Word of God and you quote that verse. It tells you that's wrong and you can have victory and you can do this and God knows what's right and you memorize it and you memorize it and you quote it and you quote it. I have people come back all the time and say, you know what? I got it. I made it. I figured this out. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can change your life. Look, if the Word of God can save you and keep you from going to a never-ending hell, it can change your everyday life. But you have to have the mind of Christ. But, you know, it's rare you find anybody memorize any Scripture anymore. But it's one of the answers to having that mind of Christ. If we could get Christianity to slow down long enough before they make any decision, before you take any job, before you take on any duty, before you make any major change in your life, before you pick a school, before you do anything and say, what would Jesus have me do? And I'm not talking about you conjure up some emotional revelation. I'm talking about the written Word of God. You say, but wonder if I can't find it. Do the stupid thing. Go see your pastor and ask him if he could tell you there might be something in the book. You say, oh, well, I know he would. And that's why some never ask. I think God has something to say about everything. Now, what's the whole purpose of this sermon? The Bible says there are people that are shaken in mind. And I think that's a negative. I don't think God wants us rattled in our minds. I don't think we should have spiritual shaken mind syndrome where the devil and life and even the things that we create shake our minds up to the point where we don't do what we're supposed to do and we're less effective in life. I don't think that. Oh my, this world is starved for some sound-minded Christians that are dependable, predictable, happy, victorious, successful. You know, that's what Christians are supposed to be. Folks, we're not to be freaking out like the world. We're different. We're not supposed to be like that. So you say, well, how can I get myself there? You have a mind to work. Make sure your mind is stayed on God. Have your mind filled with hope. Keep it humble. Be sound, have a disciplined mind, begin to think like Christ. Those are the first six steps to not having a shaken mind. Tonight, we'll cover another half dozen or so, but let me tell you this. If you're not born again, it all starts with salvation. It all starts with Jesus Christ. If you died today and you say, Pastor, if I die today, I don't know. I'd go to heaven. I'd probably go to hell. Okay, we can get that cared for. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He moves into you. That gives you the strength, the wherewithal, and the capacity to develop His thinking. But salvation is where it begins. If you're not saved, I want to recommend to you salvation. If you're saved, there's some people in here. It's time for you to get your mind under control. And there's some of you who know me for years and years and years. I've been preaching like this for a long time, and I am 100% sold that this old book can stabilize your mind. I believe it. Our society is more rattled than ever, and they're further away from the Bible than they've ever been. Ever been. Do you know the lost of a generation ago fought better than the saved of this generation? They were more moral. They worked harder. They were lost. They had better marriages. What's wrong with us? We're destroying our heritage. And I'll tell you, a lot of it's because we need sissy britches preachers that won't get up and tell people the truth. They're scared to death to tell the truth because we've got to be socially accepted. Fooey with socially accepted. We need to be accepted by the truth and by the Almighty God of the truth.